morning, everyone. Coming from a large family, sort of really buy into this story of Joseph. We didn't threaten to kill each other, but, you know, no one competes and fights like brothers and sisters. You know, some families are able to make the relationship work really well, in spite of intense rivalry and arguments, but it's not always the case. And this week, you know, we continue this story of Joseph and his family, which you know, presents us with sibling rivalry at its very worst. Yet throughout this story, we see God's plan for Joseph being worked out in the midst of unexpected setbacks and gross injustices. We can trace God's blessing being poured out into Joseph's life in the most unexpected places and in the most unexpected ways too. Last week, we heard from Chris about how the 10 older brothers had conspired together to kill Joseph. He was Jacob's favourite son, Jacob being his father. And although the youngest, he bought him a multicoloured coat. Now, this coat, it signalled to the family much more than favouritism, because it was showing that Jacob had passed on the birthright of everything he had, not to the eldest son, which was the tradition, but to Joseph, the youngest. Joseph was given his father's blessing, and it was a really big deal in the Jewish tradition for the father to pass on his blessing to the eldest son. And the seeds of family jealousy were well and truly sown. I guess we could look at Joseph as the spoilt brat, favoured by his dad over his 10 brothers. He got fancy clothes, the preferential treatment, and it reads in the story as though he deserved them. When he had two dreams of his brothers bowing down to him and then his whole family, you know, Joseph even had the front to tell them all about it. And although he was only 17, the story leaves you with this sense that he really ought to have been a tad bit more sensitive to family relations. But we don't know. We don't know. That's just surmising what might go on in this very big family. But God had given Joseph the gift of dreams, visions, and interpretation that would eventually save him, his family, and the nation of Egypt from years of famine. He was so excited and so blessed to receive this gift from God. But it was this very blessing that became the tipping point that led to Joseph's brothers plotting to kill him. They really couldn't stand him anymore. What was God doing? At the last moment, just by chance, this nameless Ishmaelite turned up, bought Joseph and took him to Egypt. I'll show you the dream. There it is. And we'll move on. Because Joseph's circumstances changed suddenly and drastically. And yet, God's relationship with him remained exactly the same. He was sold as a slave to Potiphar, who was an extremely rich officer in Pharaoh's service. But just when it all seemed as if everything was lost, Joseph began to sense God's presence, even as a slave in a foreign land. And we read that the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. Not only that, but his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hands. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in field and house. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. You know, for Joseph, this was a really tragic place to be. He could have moaned and complained and blamed God for absolutely everything that had happened to him. He could have given up, burning with rage against his brothers and against God too. And yet, in this situation, he prospered. Because Joseph chose not to carry the hurts, the anger, the hope of revenge with him, he intentionally followed God. And somehow, finding a rhythm of grace in his life that sustained him. Psalm 119 tells us, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. They were probably words that Joseph had learned as a young boy. I suspect that Joseph was really persistent in prayer and worship. You know, how else are you going to hang in there when so much appears to have gone wrong? Joseph managed to trust God even in the face of disappointments. And I wonder how many people we know who have their lives spoilt because they hold on to resentment, grudges, anger, unforgiveness against people. And they carry this stuff around with them for years, pulling it out time and time again just to check that the list is intact. Because one day, you're going to get them back. Many people nurse bitterness that corrodes their lives. And they wonder why they bear little fruit in the kingdom of God. Because it happens to Christians too. There is no peace to be found for an unforgiving heart. Because it's utterly destructive for us personally and those people around us. We all succumb to this at times, just as Joseph did. As you know, this story continues, we see hints of that inner struggle revealed in the little bits of detail that come through. But he refused to live in the past. He grew in wisdom through these really painful times in his life, and realizing that forgiveness was something that could be worked through, but it needs God's help. Forgiveness is never something that happens just like that, but it can be worked through. Even when it returns to us again and again, God will help us eventually put it in room 101, where we'll never see it again. It's an intentional choice we all have to make if we truly want God's blessing and we want to know his freedom in our lives. Some things are really hard to forgive, and we can't do it on our own. But with God and with his grace, we can find a place of peace, of forgiveness, that allows us to embrace life without that toxic influence of anger and revenge invading our thinking and even our dreams. Joseph's story, it's like a roller coaster. Just when things appear to be on the up, they're on the down again. Yet on this journey of his, he learned how to trust God at all times and to recognize God's blessing in the small, everyday, ordinary things of life. And there he found encouragement. There he found hope. For some people, their story is more down than up. And life doesn't have Joseph's happy ending. There are Christians all over the world who are under persecution, whose lives are taken from them in the vilest of ways. Yet we hear testimonies of God's blessing and grace, even in the face of death. This was a report from Christian Today News about unexpected times of blessing. On April 29th, 2015, 8 convicted drug traffickers were executed in a maximum security prison in Indonesia. Having been sentenced to death years earlier, they were given just a few days' notice of their execution. But the long years in prison had changed them. 7 had become Christians. Brian Houston, senior pastor of Hillsong Church, writes of 2 of the Australians in the group, saying this: They have not only accepted the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, but they've also rehabilitated themselves to be upstanding members of the prison system. Even in jail, they've made a positive contribution to the lives of other prisoners, and they've sought to pay their debt to society. And so, they died as they had learned to live in prison, praising God. They sang hymns like Amazing Grace in their final hours, and refused to wear blindfolds as they faced the firing squad of 13. And as the final seconds of their lives counted down, they started to sing a new song. 10,000 reasons, bless the Lord, O my soul. I have to say that I've, you know, been deeply challenged by this story of Joseph, and also about how much I truly value this gift of worship. This opportunity that we have to come together and worship in complete freedom Sunday by Sunday. If it were taken from each of us tomorrow, would we wish that we had chosen to worship differently, more intentionally, more joyfully? These prisoners came to Jesus and found in him forgiveness, full and free. The promise of his dear presence, even in prison, and the hope of heaven in their hearts. And going back to Joseph, he too made the best of his circumstances and trusted God to sort out things in his own way, in his own good time. And what a tough place that is for any of us to be, waiting again and again and again. And how easily we become impatient and we start manipulating the situation to come up with the answers that we want right now. Joseph found that God was in the waiting. As a slave, Joseph received God's blessing, and in turn, Potiphar's household received God's blessing too. And it's a pattern throughout the whole of the Bible. Blessing is never for one person. It's never about the church alone, but it's about God's glory displayed for all to see. And as we are blessed, we get to share those blessings with others. Well, it didn't end there, did it, for Joseph? Joseph's problem started all over again as Mrs. Potiphar zoomed in. Well, what a madam she was. The one thing that she didn't have in the household, she wanted. She wanted to have a sexual relationship with Joseph, and wrapped up in this temptation could have been for Joseph an opportunity of freedom, an opportunity for love, because he must have surely felt unloved and forsaken in a foreign land after all that he'd been through. It's a powerful thing to be offered the possibility of love at any price. If you yourself are feeling vulnerable, rejected, lonely and unloved, even though the truth might be far more to do with lust and abuse than it does to have with real love. So here's Joseph, a young handsome man, being offered his master's wife on a plate. No one would know. Who would blame him? But Joseph's defense against her pressing affections is this: my master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Joseph called it for what it was. He was true to God. He called it a great wickedness and sin against God. And I wonder how often we're prepared to name sin for what it is when we're faced with it. Rather than using the euphemisms of today, instead of adultery, today it would be called an affair, a bit on the side. It's all right, isn't it? but it has the power to destroy lives and all the blessings that were present in that loving relationship between two people. Who would know, says Mrs. Puttifer. Isn't that how most betrayals start? With a small fire that feels under control and then suddenly it isn't. But Joseph chose not to give in, because he wanted to remain transparent before God and faultless in his behaviour towards Mrs. Potiphar, because he had received many blessings from his master. But here's the twist. Joseph, even though he chose God's way over Mrs. Potiphar, is the one who got into trouble. For all his resistance, he was accused of rape, thrown into prison, and even though Joseph actually ran from her presence, he's still in a lot of trouble. And sometimes, I think, that's exactly what we need to do if we're faced with temptations in our own lives, is to turn and run. I think it's worth noting here that even when we do the right things, our faith is no insurance policy that all will go well for us in this world. So where's the blessings, we ask? Even when Joseph ended up in prison unjustly, God provided a place for him in the prison where the king's prisoners were held. Slightly better place than where everyone else was held. And it was sparing him the very worst of this outcome. We read that in prison, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him kindness and granted him favour in the eyes of the prison warder. And the prison warder paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. When Joseph was thrown into prison on that false charge, his future just seemed to evaporate. And yet, it was in this very prison that he actually came into contact with the men who would eventually raise him up to become the second highest person in the whole of Egypt. During his years in prison, God blessed Joseph and blessed those around him. Joseph was a kingdom carrier. I love that phrase, and you know, it's one that's used a lot now. I don't know who first put that together, but just as we are called to be kingdom carriers, this was who Joseph was. Wherever we go, we carry Jesus with us, and the hope that he has written in our hearts to be a blessing to other people. We carry that hope of heaven for every person we meet. Joseph lived long before the letter to the Romans had been written, but somehow Joseph lived his life as if he knew these words by heart. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. It's one of the promises to circle in your Bible. If you're a writer on your Bible, or a felt tip penner, or a highlighter, it's to hold on to when you find that things suddenly change drastically. And it's the sort of promise that helps us, you know, to find our balance again when the stuff of life crashes in unexpectedly and uninvited. You know, the fact that God is working everything together for good becomes a place of refreshment for us. And it becomes an anchor for our souls when all we see are things going wrong. And just like Joseph, even though God seems absent and the heavens seem like brass, God is still God, never absent. And God is still there in the silence with us as we wait. And just coming into land now, as you know, if any of you this morning are feeling under relentless pressure as life twists and turns, and for all your praying and your pleading with God, there seems to be no breakthrough, no cloud in the sky after the sixth prayer. I just want to encourage you to take heart. You know, take heart, dear friends, because God has promised that he is working his purposes out. He hears every cry of our hearts. He knows every tear that falls. And as we wait, he waits with us in all his fullness, in all his love, mercy, and power. More often than not, coming to us in the silence and the darkness to bless us, to encourage us. It's often in the crucible of pain and darkness that the treasures of the kingdom are shown to us. No one wants to be there in that place. But blessing waits for us, not just for you and me, but as we receive, God will bless others through us. Joseph had the confidence to believe that in all circumstances, God was still on the throne, and that he would still come under God's blessing if he remained faithful and obedient. It's an amazing story of resilience in the storms of life, and it reminds us of the absolute faithfulness of God as we choose to trust him, even when nothing seems right and everything seems wrong. Amen.